the new birth, we stumble upon the activation of new senses. Those new senses are powered by the Holy Spirit, giving us perception of the kingdom of God. It is within that context that you can peep into your unique purpose in God through Christ Jesus. It is through that perception and all that is determined concerning your life can only be accessible on the strength of such perception. So it is that perception we want to build, that perception we want to understand, so that we can enter into the blessings that we gain on the account of the perception that comes through the ability of the Holy Spirit that is in us. First Samuel chapter 3. Samuel had a challenge. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7 gives us a picture of the condition of Samuel. I think before we can look upon the condition of Samuel, we need to understand the condition of Samuel with respect to a context. And the context will be what was upon the heart of God, how desperate God was to move in the land, the issues of time frame that were no longer on God's side, the issues of the need for God to seize a man, all of those factors were playing out in the context. And then verse 7 reveals to us the state of Samuel. Maybe we'll check the context so that we can understand the parameters I'm talking about. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He began to learn ministry under Eli. So everything in ministry that he knew at that point in time was such as he was taught under the supervision of Eli. And the word of God was precious in those days. In those days, it was not common to find somebody claimed to have the word of the Lord for the season. In those days, open visions was a luxury that was almost always not available. That means Samuel's discipleship and training in ministry excluded scenarios of dramatic interventions by God or from God. It excluded scenarios where men are guided by the laser light of revelatory visions. So that was not part of his training, because it was a commodity that was too scarce at such a time when he leant under Eli. And it came to pass at that time that Eli lay down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And the Lamb of God went out to the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel lay down to sleep, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Now, there are a lot of permutations, a lot of things. You will notice God called three times. That means he was determined to get the attention of Samuel. And each time, the guy went to his master. Deductively, we can assume a few things. One, God was calling Samuel using the voice of Eli, because that's all he knew. God had to disguise to come to him. That was why he went to his master. Now, this is a situation that happens to us when we do not understand the voice of God. It's likely for us, haven't heard the voice of God, to resort to men. When we do not understand the voice of God, it is likely that when God wants to drive us in a particular direction, we'll be stuck on how to actually, accurately respond. That was the situation of Samuel. And three times over, when God called to him, he went to his master. Amen. Now, if God was not desperate, if God did not set out at all costs to meet with Samuel, having missed it three times, God won't have reached out again. Now, in the prophetic, God reaches out to us in his own unique way. And he keeps reaching out to us in his own unique way. What we are trying to do is to bring some form of education so that we'll be able to respond to God every time he begins to reach out to us. That's one. And just in case God decides not to reach out to us, we can set up an adventure, set up a movement, a search in the spirit for God. Hallelujah. With a hope that we will stumble upon him in our search. So it's a two-way thing. But unfortunately for the young man Samuel, even though God was reaching out to him because of what God wanted to accomplish, he had a deficiency. That deficiency was going to put to waste every attempt that God was making at his life. Now, let us see. In verse 7, his situation was accurately captured. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7, his situation was captured. So, from God's perspective, you could see that God was desperate. But the fact that God was desperate did not translate to anything profitable because of his level of ignorance of how the Spirit of God functions. God can be desperate around your life. And maybe because of your ignorance of the way God operates, his desperation doesn't translate to anything concrete. And so the need for education as to how God operates and how to relate to God, how to respond to God, is critical. You know, a quiet discipleship outline had to be revealed in this particular story. Because when the young lad came to Eli three times, Eli now perceived that it was God that was coming to him. So there were other instructions that Eli never gave the young man, because the word of God in those days was scarce and there was no open vision. So there was no need for that aspect of the discipleship to be carried out in view of the current status quo. And when he began to reason that it might have been the Lord that was responsible for the calling, she now began to continue his discipleship program. He now told him how to respond. Hallelujah. So, you see, because of lack of education, he was about to miss a mighty move of God. He was not taught how to respond to God. He didn't know how to expect God. In fact, he was not taught to expect God in the first place. And so there was a deficiency in his educational system in the spirit. And when his master discovered that God was actually serious, in that God was persistent, he now gave him additional information that will arm him in his encounter with God. And that's what we want to achieve here. To give us additional information so that no initiative of God around your life will be wasted. You'll be able to capture it and maximize every moment of any initiative that God puts, advances towards it. Hallelujah. Now, so it was in verse 7 that we found the true state of Samuel's status. Verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. There were two things that was wrong with him. He didn't know the Lord. And what? The word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. He didn't know the Lord. Could not discern the Lord. And The word of the Lord was not yet revealed. Now, can we start with the first point? Knowing the Lord. How do you know the Lord? I need my microphone quickly. We have to solve this young man's problem. The young man did not yet know the Lord. And for most of us that have been consistent, coming to pray, your spirit is beginning to open. And you may not know there are many advances that God has been making towards you because of the fact that you have become consistent in the place of prayer. Prayer is that fountain that actually activates spiritual business in your life. Jesus is likely to be very quiet in your spirit and probably powerless in your spirit until you begin to engage him in the place of prayer. Then he rises up from his place of slumber. I hope you know Jesus can be in a boat and sleep. He was in a boat, he slumbered, he snored. Even though there was there was a mighty wind, he did not stop his sleep. So Jesus can sleep in your spirit. He's sleeping there, and there's a storm around your life, raging with power. But his sleep is intact. Now, we need Jesus to wake up from within us. And when you begin to trouble him by attending to prayer, by attending to the study of the Word of God, you begin to trouble him. Begin to trouble him. And he rises. When he rises, he will make advances towards you. And you need to know how to respond to him adequately in order to translate his intentions into reality. Now, the state of Samuel was captured in those scriptures. The Bible says Samuel did not yet know the Lord. It means he was en route knowing God. But at the point where he was, we could not describe him as one of the people that has come to know God. He's zealous. He's on course. But he doesn't yet know the Lord. Can we define what it means for a man to be said to know the Lord? What does that mean? It's a bit technical, but let's try. What does it mean when we say this guy knows the Lord? Brother Jude knows the Lord.
Praise God.
Yes.
For you to know God, you have to interface with him. It's like the knowing of a man and a woman, if a husband and a wife, you begin to relate with him on an intimate level. I remember years back where my father died, actually drove me to seek God like never before. I was in my first year in the university then. I'd given my life to Christ for some years, but I didn't really know God as such. So I was even missing lectures because I wanted to understand, God, where are you? What are you saying about my life? What's your plan for me? Am I going to go the way my father went? You know, how he lived his life. I don't know what's going to happen to me. So a lot of questions were in my heart. So I kept praying, And at a point, God began to speak to me. Began to reveal some things to me. Told me a lot of things, which I noted.
Where's my board?
I saw that as...
Somebody set my body, please.
You know, it's a review. He has to review. You don't know God unless God review himself.
You have spoken many big things. But wait, I want us to capture what you are saying. Stop here. Stop. We'll still consult you some more. Let's articulate what he has just said. Hallelujah. Oh. All right. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Can we get a marker? We are trying to set up a school, me and my wife, and a few of us. And we sat down and said, all right, what do we want to achieve? Because the physical school is cognitive. Hallelujah. We saw that the global trend for education currently is a little bit different from what it was before. Based on my research, I found out that there's a movement from child education to child development. That's the current movement. Education on its natural outlook is informative in nature. Information currently is not the only parameter that is required for you to become a certain kind of product in view of the evolution of culture, the evolution of society. And so the perspective is child development. The implication of that is that, you know, because we have things like a gay movement. If all you gave your child is education, for instance, and the child now comes home with a man comes home with a man eventually and says, I want to get married. The guy is educated, but he's not developed. He was not protected against the society that was evolving around him. Are you with me? Now, so most of the time when we talk about education in this context, have I drifted? When we talk about it in this context, we talk about brainstorming, exposing their psyche. But you see, in knowing God, the parameters are different. It's not cognitive. The knowledge of God, first of all, we must understand that, oh my, it is experiential. So what Brother Jude was trying to explain when he says, you know, knowing your wife, it's an experiential kind of knowledge. You know, when you were in courtship, that you sit under mango tree and lie to yourself, you know, you say, yeah, you put, well, this. I don't know how much of those things you believe anymore. Because by the time you begin to experience yourself, you now discover that if you, there's no amount of being under that mango tree that can substitute for actual experiencing of yourself. When you begin to see your wife under different circumstances that trigger dimensions that you did not see under the mango tree, hallelujah, then you are in a journey of experience. That is when you will know that love is not a feeling. Love is a covenant, it's a commitment. Because feelings will eventually change, but your commitment should be steadfast. And that's why Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my... Did he say cry? He said, keep my commandments. Because covenant is constant. Your emotions, your feelings can fluctuate. You can be offended. You can be happy. But that doesn't affect the position of the Word of God. You are supposed to respond to the Word of God and apply your will to it, irrespective of whether you feel like or not. So, in marriage, what happens is that we come into covenant. And that covenant limits our options. The options are not many. Are you following? That means we are going to stay together irrespective of what happens, what situation brings, what circumstances bring. That's covenant. It's only when you have such covenant that you can experience the person to the point of knowing the person. That's the kind of bondage that we have with God. We are bound with Him in covenant. And so the way we can know God is through experience. That's not cognitive. Experiential knowledge will last forever, for eternity. Cognitive knowledge is suspended when you are in a crisis. And that's why you might see people that are professors of psychology. Professor, the other day with professor of all kinds of professor that there's no peace in his home. No peace. It means the head is bogus, but the heart is empty. So our adventure for knowing God is a heart thing. Are you with me? It's an experiential thing. That's why every one of us, one of the first things that you get to do when you begin to experience God, you should be able to give God a personalized name. Now, when you see David saying, the Lord is my shepherd, those are personalized names that evolve out of personal experiences with God. Are you with me? Personalized name. A true student of God must periodically personalize God on the account of the experiences that he has shared with God. If you don't do that, you are not a very good student on your spiritual journey. You have to personalize God. The Lord is my shepherd. Why? I shall not want. Because he is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It's a personalized. And it, you will notice that David was not saying us, leadeth us, leadeth me. Leadeth me. So every other thing he said in Psalms 23 was a proof of the fact that the Lord indeed was his shepherd. He wanted to justify that personalized revelation. And that's why he gave that wonderful presentation. And those presentations that he gave there were presentations that were drawn from his personal experience of God. So the knowledge of God is experiential. The knowledge of God is personal. Now, there is a difference between cognitive knowledge and personal knowledge. Somebody can be bogus in the head and empty in the heart. And somebody can be empty in the head and full of God in the heart. There are a lot of women that I've seen that never went to school, but they know God so deeply because they have exercised their heart in experience of God. And I'm not saying that the pursuit of God is a friend of mental sloth, but I'm saying it is not cognitive. It's not a mind-based thing. Your mind is not the first part of your universe that comes into that economy. It's your heart that comes into it first. And when your heart has come into it, you compel your mind to align with what your heart has experienced. Hallelujah. It's a holistic thing. It consumes your entire being eventually, but it begins with your heart. So the first thing I want you to notice is that the knowledge of God is experiential. That's one. And I need to define what I mean by experiential in this context. Because it's not naturally experiential. It is experiential spiritually. And the contact point for this experience, the domain, the platform for this experience is your heart. Hallelujah. And the other time when we were studying, we saw what the heart was. But that's not my interest right now. Amen. So we said it's what? Experiential. The domain is where? The heart. Three. It's personal. Then four, it requires your spiritual senses. Now, you see, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." All that pertains to the kingdom of God is such that you can perceive through your spiritual senses when your spiritual senses are activated and aided by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you cannot come into that experience except your spiritual senses are activated. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, I've been married for, I think, 9 years now. October will make it 9 years. That's not too long, anyway. But I know my wife experientially. My wife cannot talk back at me, even if I'm wrong. She can't talk back. She's not capable of that. And I've come to know that experientially. I did not know that when we were under mango tree. Hallelujah. She can't talk back. She doesn't have the ability to talk back. And that's why most times, when I eventually realize I'm wrong, I'm the one that goes to make peace. Not that she's fighting, but I will not feel at peace. Because she's like that. Are you with me? So I have to go back and say, I'll crack a joke first. If it doesn't work, I'm a clown. You don't understand it. I don't know. Maybe the anointing makes me look different, but this is not me. Hallelujah. Because I know she doesn't have the ability to talk back. I always watch to see that I don't intimidate her. I always watch to see. And there is no Bible school that you go to or marriage counseling that will give you the experiential dimensions of what your intimate relationship with your wife will look like. It is based on use that you now come to understand experientially. It happened like this, it happened like this, then this is a constant. This is a constant. You now know the weakness that your wife has. And then you augment for that weakness. You know the strength that she has. For God's sake, if your wife drives better than you, why not allow her drive? And just fetch somewhere. At the end of the day, you'll find many weaknesses, many strengths. Oh my God, let the strongest person do the job. And life will go on. Instead of you people fighting every day, fighting alone. Hallelujah. Those days when we got married initially, I realized something. She doesn't like darkness. When NEPA takes light and we don't have maybe fuel for Jane, she doesn't like it. I said, I saw it once, saw it twice. I said, okay. So if I can afford it, when they take light, I'll make sure there's light. I found that one out experientially. I follow. Because the Bible recommends that we should deal with damsels according to knowledge. There are some things they can handle, there are some things they cannot handle. That's experiential knowledge. I cannot preach that in Bible study and say, when they partake light, look for fuel. I'll be out of scope. Experiential knowledge. It's not in any textbook. You don't learn it from any classroom. You learn it by reason of use. May the Lord give you understanding. That's why I can only counsel you on basic things in a marriage relationship, in a relationship leading to marriage, in courtship. Only on basic things. You will find your own template. You will find your story. So the best thing to do in preparing for marriage is to be a Christian. Please help me tell your neighbor, be a Christian. The other day they called me and said, what are the secrets of marriage? I said, oh bro, be a Christian. You see, we are short of Christians these days, but if you want it to work, be a Christian. A Christian cannot sleep having offended somebody. You look for a place of peace. Sometimes it's at great cost to your pride. Great cost. So marriage is a setup that if you succeed in it, you'll be a better person. You give up a lot of stuff. Give up pride. Give up. Hallelujah. And when you see it not working, two proud people are still holding on to the, just let it go. Let it go. It's not that important. Let it go. If you really know how to fight, don't fight at home. There are fights in the office. There are fights in the village. This will rest at home. So it's by reason of knowledge, by reason of what? Use, that I crystallize those knowledge. And then when I discover that there is no guarantee that I will always have fuel when NEPA takes light, even though knowledge has revealed that it would have been better if I had, I had to also begin to discourage consciously, but skillfully, that inclination so that we can stay without light. Because I went to the secondary school I went to, they will have lights out. When there's lights out, we soak curry with pepper, with everything in the night, no light. We know what, when you touch, so we learned how to operate in darkness. So I say, so I'm comfortable. When NEPA takes light, we switch mode. So I began to teach her how to switch mode in darkness. You measure the length, the space from the bed to the toilet door. So you know that if I take, and you we move. So I had to teach her how in the daytime when there's light, it's 5 steps to the door. Because we can't guarantee. The only thing that we can guarantee is that we'll follow Jesus to the end. But to guarantee that there's fuel, there's no guarantee. Meanwhile, you will not make it look like a fight. If not, it will be a fight. So you manage it. It's by reason of use, by experience. You now know how to tackle it. That's how God is, our relationship with God. If you know how you operate, you know that you will say no on this matter. Tomorrow you say no on this matter. You say no on this. It's okay. You know that matter. This one is no. Okay. No. And then, very soon you get to know him. But all this knowledge is experiential. All right? And so if you are on an experiential path, you should be able to give God a personalized name eventually. Now, in my work with God, I found a few things, and I said we need to understand the workings of our spiritual senses. We're going to look at that. Are you still with me? Oh my, you are not with me. I used to tell you that those days I was a guy man. I was one of the best guy men around. But you will not believe, but that's the truth. My Wrangler jeans, there was nobody that had that type. It was 17,000 in those days, my jeans. You need to see my Sanchos. Nobody had that shoe in BSU. Jesus. My haircut. Oh. So I was too guyish, and Baba needed to help me. So the first thing he did was that he said I should not wear jeans again. So after we struggled and I accepted, I kept the Wrangler, that one, just in case he changes his mind. I washed it, and then that was the only thing they stole. I've seen that if I insist I want to have my way, God will manipulate something and something will happen to that thing that he wants me to give away. So since it was consistent, it helped me to obey God quickly. So when God is insisting on a matter, I know he has other ways of eliminating it, but he just wants me to participate in his elimination. Are you with me? I stumbled on that experientially. For instance, when we are praying, having prayed all manner of prayer, because I prayed all manner of prayer, prayed shouting, prayed lying down, prayed standing, prayed, I came to realize, for me, I don't know whether it's for you, if I want to find God, I will not start by shouting. Meanwhile, this is not a doctrine. This is me. So maybe you are catching fire shouting. Me, I don't catch fire when I shout. My own fire, I catch it when I'm praying quietly. You will not know that I am high in spirit. But I found that experiential. And if I push that prayer for 2 hours, I can do damage to the kingdom of darkness. If I push it for 2 hours, just very quiet like that, walking around, about 1 hour, 15 minutes, 1 hour, 45 minutes. After that, I can be very powerful. I learned that one experientially. That gentle prayer, I can sustain it for 6 hours, sustain it for 7 hours, just going like that. When I am quickened, I'll begin to see visions, begin to see things, begin to make decrees, and those things are established. But I found that one how? Experiential. Are you with me? Now, you see, in order for us to understand this subject a little more, I may need to take us through a diploma course quickly. The course is on spiritual senses. Hallelujah. The first spiritual sense is called the sense of knowing. Sense of knowing. The sense of what? John chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. The sense of knowing. Now, after we do the theory, we'll do the practical. Then you'll be able to appreciate what I'm talking about. Listen to me. The difference between life and death, many times, is a knowing. A quiet knowing. You must be strong in your spiritual senses. God always leaves a witness before things find expression. He always leaves what? A witness. I know a pastor, very mighty pastor in Kano. He wanted to travel. He said, oh, I'm not feeling free. He said that, even told his pastors, younger pastor, don't follow me. Stay here. I'm not feeling free. But he said he has already given the people his word that he must come for the meeting. That's how he entered that vehicle and he died. But you see, there was a sign from God. And that's why I said the difference most times between life and death is a small sign. The first domain of your spiritual sense is what we call the sense of knowing. Who is there with me? John. Please, these things I'm teaching today, they are very simple, but you must master them. You must master them. When you see me on the pulpit ministry and I say, this thing is happening, it's no more than what I'm teaching you. That's my secret I'm teaching you. It's no more than that. But the thing is, some of us are strong in it, some others are not. That's why we are how we are. Unfortunately. That's how experiential knowledge is contacted through the spiritual senses. Sense of knowing. Who is there with me in John? John chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which was in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray, Jesus knowing, can you underline knowing there? That means he was taking some actions on the strength of a knowing. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went back to God. He knew that the Father has given all things into his hands. He also knew that he had come from God. He also knew that at the end of the day, he would go back to God. All of these things, he was able to relate to it through a knowing. Now, my question to you is, what do you know by the Holy Ghost? Jesus knew that he had come from God. Jesus knew that he's going back to God. Jesus knew that the Father has committed all things into his hand. Is there anybody here that knows something? Not because you studied it in the university, because the Holy Spirit impressed it upon you. You know it. Jesus knowing. You will hear the Bible speak about Jesus in a congregation where he's teaching. And as he's teaching, suddenly the Bible says, knowing their thoughts. And then he will answer their thoughts. Not because they said the thing vocally. He just knew their thoughts and then responded to their thoughts. That's the first spiritual sense. The sense of knowing. Hallelujah. The sense of what? Many times when I stand on the pulpit, it's through the sense of knowing that I know that God wants to move. I just know. And it is something you can miss if you are not sensitive. If you go and you pray in your closet and say, Lord, I'm going to preach. Please come. Please come. Please come. He will come. But the problem is, will you know? It's whether or not you will know that that's the problem. Please come. He will respond. He will come. But are you capable of knowing when he comes? When you are in the place of prayer and you are praying and you are praying about a particular subject, suddenly the Lord comes and gives you a knowing that the subject has been handled. Notice the scripture that we read in the book of John chapter 13. And Jesus knowing, because of that, he took some actions that was based on that knowing. For instance, if you are praying in the spirit and a knowing comes to you that the matter has been handled, for me, I will stop that prayer now and go to another prayer point. Because I have a knowing that God has dealt with the first issue. He opens your, quickens your sense to know spiritually. And then you know that he has intervened. You are supposed to respond from that point of knowing. There should be evidence that you know. And the evidence is that you stop praying that prayer point and you go to another one. That's how the spirit realm is wired. That's how we are supposed to be operating on a daily basis. The sense of knowing. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And Paul knew that a man had faith enough to be healed. All the things that the guys did in the Acts of the Apostles were not guesses. they responded to knowings. He knew that he had faith enough to be healed. There are several times you can stand and you are ministering to people, and then the Holy Spirit begins to point somebody. You try to remove your attention. He will draw your mind back. You leave that case. You draw your mind back. You run away from there. You start teaching to distract yourself. 30 minutes later, he draws your attention. Then the Holy Ghost, what do you have to do with this person? As you are going there, then because you have decided to focus on that thing, he's drawing your attention to, he can open some more information about the matter. But knowing is, in fact, 60% of the communication of God is in form of knowing. And so if you don't master it, you are not likely to be able to handle the impact of spiritual experiences that God brings on your life. Notice Samuel's problem. What was his problem? He did not yet know. Hallelujah. Now, do you have any question on that before we move to the next one? Because these are issues I would like you to understand practically. Any question on that? Is that understood? Question. All right, somebody has a question. Knowing.
If God has said something to you and you have known that this so thing that is going to happen.
Okay.
And the thing keep on longing.
Oh, it's long.
Yes.
It takes time. Yes. Have you studied your Bible? The Bible says that for every purpose under heaven, there is a time. Have you read Scripture? Scripture says He makes all things beautiful in His time. So it is God's sovereignty and government that regulates the accurate time for the manifestation of several events. We are not in control of time. God is in control of time. If I pray to Him, for instance, maybe if Okpani has prayed to God and said, God, I want to marry. And say, all right, it is done. And then it's beginning to take time. God is not a liar. Because God is not a man. Hallelujah. But you see, that your prayer has been programmed by the sovereignty of God to a specific time, a season. When that season comes, what God does is that it releases grace. And when grace is released, that which was impossible previously suddenly begins to become possible. Men will begin to go out of their ways to be a blessing to you. Even evil people will align with that project. Everybody will stand with that project so that it will come to pass. When you look at it, you will know it is not because you have connections. It's just because the grace of God has been released, because it is the season for God to perform a will of His. Hallelujah. Now, you see, most of us as Christians are tested on the field of time. Why is it not happening quickly? That's one of the only things that we are not giving control over. Time is held up by the sovereignty of God. He decides when it is appropriate. It's one of the ways by which we are tested. The Bible says, until His word came, the word of the Lord, the one that God has spoken to him, tried him. He will wake up and see the contradiction of that word manifesting every day. That word tried him. But there was a time when His word came. The season for the manifestation of that word that he received came. And so the trial ended. So God tests us. He tries us with time. May we pass the test of time in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, where are we? Somebody has a question.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Like the case of Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
He had Eli there.
And come again with your question. You say, like Samuel, he had Eli there.
Yes. And when God was calling, he would go back
to consult.
At the phone, Eli
gave him insight. Mm. Well, the last time I checked, you have my phone number. And my line is on. So if there's an encounter that you have not understood, that access is available. Because we cannot rule out the need for that access. the need for that aspect. Hallelujah. And if I lack the ability to be able to give you the interpretation, me and myself, I'm not alone. I have a father. I transmit it. Hallelujah. Now, so I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I'm saying I'm covenanted with other people that I can refer to. Even hospitals. There are some hospitals. You can't handle a case. What do you do? You refer it to another place. Hallelujah. So that window is available. Just in case you doubt what you know. You know it, but you doubt that this knowing, it might be occasioned by the flesh. You can bring it up. When we check the circumstances around it, we'll find out what it is. But there's a way to test whether your knowing is of God. Huh? Where is Joshua? Strike the keyboard. That's the way to test. Worship. If it's of God, it will become stronger. If it's not of God, it will fizzle out. And this I say by experience. If it's of God, it will become stronger. If it's not of God, it will be knocked out. Amen. And if another test is forget the knowing. If you start praying again and the knowing comes again. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter shall be established. I hope you know, when God was giving the interpretation through Joseph, Pharaoh's dream, Joseph was interpreting it. And Joseph said the reason why the dream came again and again was because it was predetermined. That means it cannot be altered. So when you lose that thing and you go back to prayer and you were not thinking about it and it comes back, it's a proof that it's not a mortal that's true. It's an immortal that uttered it. So there are ways to test what you have received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the reason why I'm doing this teaching, and I will continue doing it until you become strong in the oppressions of God in your life, it will reduce counseling. It will reduce it. The pastor too will have spare time. But hallelujah. Yes, give her the microphone. Now, we can test some things. The only thing is that if we test now, we'll not be able to hold the service together. Because there are some things stronger than what we can control. Hallelujah. Can you talk into the microphone? Talk into it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I had a dream.
You had a dream.
So, and when you talk about dream, I said, let me get up.
Wait. It's not time. It's not time. We have... I'll allow you to ask your question when the time comes. We are still in knowing. Knowings. Huh? Knowing. Then there are other ones there. We'll not go to those other ones. When we reach where the one that looks like your own, we can ask your question. We're still in knowings. It's called knowings of revelation. Knowings of revelation. That knowing is a revelation. That knowing is not cognitive. It's not something you get in the library. It's not something you acquire because you attended a lecture. It's something that comes upon your heart because God moved to pass a revelation to you. So it's a knowing of revelation. Now, what I'm asking is this. The platform of questioning that I've opened is such that if you don't understand the mechanism of this knowing, you can ask. Maybe you are having an experience. You don't know whether it is knowing. I can clarify it for you. Alright? But when we come to what concerns your question, you can ask it that time. It will now help people in that subject. If I answer you now, it will be dissociated from the current emphasis. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. So this is the knowing of revelation. And in our walk with God, a lot depends on this knowing of revelation. You will hear Paul say many times, knowing this, it means that you have not as much as acquired that knowing, those oppressions that are tied to that knowing will be very difficult for you to experience. Sometimes I pray, and when I pray, I get to a point, what happens is that the Holy Spirit inside of me, He begins to sing. It's more frequent now. So the answer to my prayer is a song. We'll come to that. And you know what? God speaks, it's final. If He speaks, it's final. A man is as dangerous as his ability to hear God. And the last time you heard God clearly was the last time you obeyed Him. You obeyed Him. If a man has an ability to fear God, you have. He's a dangerous man. You can hear God. It's a dangerous man. So the knowing of revelation. Yes. Now please don't take us out of knowing of revelation.
So I want to ask whether there is anything in the constants or the regularity of the operation of this.
The what?
The constant, the regularity, that it should be regular, a consistent pattern.
I've told you that 65% of the 70% of the speakings of God are in form of that knowing of revelation. It's an everyday experience.
Because
when, every day.
When I was in ESU and the president of Platform, there was this day I woke up with, I knew clearly that there was something bad. I knew it in my heart.
There was something.
That something bad was going to happen.
I know that a lot.
And then
one of the proofs that you are spiritually healthy is that you know that danger is coming before it comes. If you stay in your house and danger meets you, come. You need counseling. You are backsliding. You need to come for counseling. Come for counseling. You stay in your house, danger is coming from Buruku. He came and met you. You need to be checked. You are backsliding gradually. So, it's a sign of spiritual health. It's not an experience in BSU. That is how it is. It's a sign of health. That you know that there's danger. And you see, you don't have the details. So your response is prayer. All manner of prayer. Prayer of praise. Prayer of thanksgiving. Prayer of war. Prayer of supplication. I beg you, have mercy. You pray all manner of prayer. Because that's how you use the weapons. The weapons, the armor. That's how you use it, by praying all manner of prayer. So when you receive that impression that danger is coming, you pray all manner. The details are withheld. It's just a knowing. It's not very specific like a voice. It's not very specific like a vision. It's a knowing. It's a perception. So you don't know which way to come. So you engage it with all manner of prayer. You repent. You are looking at me like, okay, let's do it. Me, I know it. You, I'm not sure. So, all right, go on.
So when I knew it the second time, I didn't go out. So I prayed throughout the whole day. And then my cousin was, about 3 days later, so she came back and told me that she was traveling home. And there was an attempt of accident.
Yes.
That came to her 6 times. And in 3 of those times, their vehicle was knocked out of the road.
So, was that your prayer that sponsored that deliverance?
So, my worry is this. There was this day I was in Makurdi, and then I received a call from home that our elder sister, that she died.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even... It happened when I was in Makurdi.
Yes,
it also happened
that
when I was in
Lord. Hear me. I was on the mountain for 7 days dry fasting. My father died within the 7 days. I didn't know. It means God didn't want me to know. The first time God told me that my father was going, I thought he came back. This one, maybe it was not in my interest for me to know. It was not in my interest for him to come back. It was in heaven's interest for him to go. So there was no knowing. The fact that you did not know doesn't mean you sin. It means that your radio station was switched off so that you have no insight. But what I'm saying is this. Meanwhile, it's not everything you can change. That sometimes God will give you a knowing just to inform you that, oh, this person is going. Pray on the mountain. Invoke thunder. The person will still go. Hallelujah. You know our man now, John Onyema, that died. We were in Lagos. I said death is on somebody. You were there now. Death! Then I called for prayer. And the thing still happened. I went back to God. I said, did we sin? I said, I went for 7 days of prayer. 7 days of prayer. were logging 10 hours, 8 hours per day. It was on the third day that God, you know what he said? It's not your fault. I said, no, that's not why I came. I want to know what happened so that I can explain to you. That's why I've not talked about it. Because I wanted to find out what happened. He called me that there was trouble, that he wants to travel. I said, wait there, don't move. Yeah, oh, your grave, he has been dug. Stay, wait there. We traveled, went to Abuja, picked him. I said, let me and you fly. If we die, let's die together. It was clear that death was on him. God emphasized it. It was me and you now. Picked him up, went. Everything was okay. We finished the meeting. I said, go and see your people. He's from there. That Ike just called me. John's dead. So I knew that there was death hanging. I even announced it here. That there's something Satan wants to. I announced it here. I didn't know the axe will fall on John. And I refused to go to work. You know now, I refused to go to work for 2 days until the thing left. It was after that John was caught. So it doesn't mean that even if you know, you can change it all the time. And there are sometimes God won't even allow you to know. But remember this. The things that are hidden belong to God. And the things that are revealed belong to us and our children. That's what I'm telling you. Can we make progress? Alright. So that's the first one, the knowing of revelation. The second one. First one is knowing. Second one is sight. Sight. God gives sight. So dreams too are under this sight. Dreams are night visions. Alright? So there's sight. John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. John 5, 21. John 5, 20, 21. The knowing of revelation. We have the sight of access. We have the hearing of faith. And then we have the taste of discernment. Those are the four senses. So this is sight now, the sight of access. Knowing of revelation, the sight of access, the hearing of faith, and the taste of discernment. Now, so where are we? John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. All right? John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Who is there? Who is with the microphone? All right. Give Mommy Akwa to read for us. John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Sometimes this knowing can be so strong. Because the things I'm knowing now, it's heavy. There are sometimes I feel the anointings upon people's head. I can stay and close my eyes. And some of you will come close to me, I will know that is you. Not because of anything, we know because of your anointing. Like Mommy Akpa, I feel her anointing. I know it. So even if I'm backing her, she comes close, I will know it. I will know. Few people like that I've known like that. I know you in the spirit. Yeah. I know you in the spirit.
Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than this, that ye may marvel.
Now, you see, the proof of the Father's love was revealed in what he showed the Son.
21.
Yes.
For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will.
Because the Father has shown the Son how he does it, so the Son can do the same. Hallelujah. So the proof of the Father's love was revealed in that which he showed the Son. That's the secret of miracles, secret of signs, secret of wonders. He will show you. He will show you greater things that you may marvel. He will show him. I was preaching in assemblies of God, and what I saw was that there was a crippled person in the hall. And when I looked around, there was no cripple. So I said, I'm seeing a crippled person. If that crippled person is close to you, raise the person up. I didn't know that the woman was in the pew, so it was as if she was sitting like every other person. And when I say crippled person, they raise her up. And I told the woman, walk from that place, walk from that place, walk from that place. She staggered, she staggered. At a time came. Some of you were there now. She began to walk. But I did not see that she was crippled physically. It was here. I saw it. The father loved the son and he showed him as a sight of access. In that sight, we have day visions. In that sight, we have dreams. So you can answer questions. I wanted us to reach here before you ask a question. Because this one is a little bit more complicated than the knowing of revelation. A little bit more complicated.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today I was supposed to travel, so I had a dream that a car was parked. This car was, the color was different. And then, it wasn't my car, but I was going to drive the car. So going to drive the car, the guy now started moving. So as the car was moving, it was going into people's houses. So I was kind of afraid that...
You were pursuing it?
Yes, I was going the way it was going.
If somebody wants to use the car to travel, then the car begins to move. Then you find yourself chasing the car you're supposed to...
And I was going the way the car was going into people's houses. And then the car now was a different car than I saw again. This one I saw was maroon color, a jeep.
Okay.
And then the car was still going towards the direction. And I started praying that God is entering people's houses. Let it not go and kill somebody and they will hold me responsible. And then I kneeled down on one round and I prayed. I said, Jesus, help me, please. It's going to be into people's houses. It's going. Then, before I knew it, he went and climbed on a child, a little child's body. On the lap, the child was on the ground, but the child did not die. It only broke the child. The leg was not broken, but it clamped. I could see the sign of the tire on the leg. And then the car now went and hit inside the ditch that has plenty more in time. That was in the when I wake up, I couldn't travel again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Now it's needful for us to understand a few things. Dreams are communications born from the spirit realm. Are you with me? The communications are written in a communication mode that is superior to your thought pattern and the frequency of your mind. Hallelujah. Many times when you awake from a dream, you will not know the meaning. Many times. If you realize that you don't know the meaning of the dream that you just had, it means God is calling you to prayer. It means the insight has been sealed. And there are two things you do to break a seal. It's prayer and worship. And through that, you'll be able to get the meaning of the dream that God has given to you. Meanwhile, hallelujah, you can have a gift, the gift of word of knowledge. And why the dream comes, instantly you know the meaning. Just in case it's like that for you, it's because you have an additional gift that is working in your life. And the reason why you may not know the meaning directly is because you don't have that other gift. And you need to pray for God to give you the insight. I know what you saw made you not to travel, but you don't know the meaning. And if you are going to be a good student of the school of the spirit, you need to take the exposures that God gives you seriously. And you work with them, you labor on them so that you can get the insight. Because God doesn't just like showing pictures. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Okay. Yes, give now. Mommy Lydia.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please, this matter of dreams, like some of us.
It's a matter.
In one night, or even during the day, you just dream multiple dreams.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I record, but when it becomes too much,
what is normally prescribed, is that every dreamer must become a scribe. When you wake up from those insights, you write them down. And before the sun sets, or before the sun rises, you must have prayed on it. You must have prayed using the insight that you had from those dreams. You must be a scribe. You must be a scribe. I have books, diaries. Some dreams took 5 years before I caught them. I even saw in my diary, attacks that will come in the future. I saw them. And you know what? When I was passing through the attack, I didn't consult the diary. It was when we finished, I saw that it was revealed. And so you need to be a scribe. You wanted to say something? Okay. You need to be a scribe of those revelations. Sometimes when you write them down, you need to share it with someone that can help you with some of the... Alright? That's why I said we need to do the school of prophets. Because we are relating with the Holy Ghost. And he has his own style of oppression. At the end of the day, he will make all of us prophetic people. You're able to pick things from the Spirit. You're able to respond to spiritual things accurately. She still wants to talk.
Sorry, some time ago, I was reading one prophetic book. It's a couple. So, I learned that...
Do you know their names?
I've forgotten the name, but I still have the book somewhere in my room. So, they say that they have... It's a word that started before the...
Is this Cindy Jacobs?
No, not Cindy Jacobs.
Is it the Hunters?
No.
Okay.
But the
is it John Paul Jackson?
It's not the one.
John Paul Jackson?
From U.S. Yeah. They are from U.S. But okay. I can't remember the very... So they say that it's not every dream you relate.
I didn't need to say that. That's elementary. If you are a student of the Word of God, you should know which dream is serious and which one is not. So I don't need to say that here. If you are a channel that God has raised to be a dreamer, the devil too will seek to bring things through that channel. It's like a mast. When you raise a mast and it's on a good location, any network that puts its satellite on it, it will catch. But it's left for you to discern which satellite is this one is talking. And the way you can know that, one of the easiest way is to be a student of the Word of God. Because God cannot operate outside of the written word. God does not want you to be afraid. When you wake up from a dream with fear, that's not one of the ways God talks. And when the devil sees that his resources are not working on your head, since his raw materials are limited, he will stop testing you that way. He is intelligent too. So discern those dreams. Bring them side by side with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Bring them side by side with the Word of God. That some of them that require battles, warfare, begin to see death, it means it's time to fight. It's time to fight. Like one man saw in his dream, he saw a dog. The dog came and beat him on the hand. Say to God be the glory. 2 weeks later, a physical dog came and bit him on the hand. The same way it was, it happened. 3 weeks after he was beaten on the hand, he died. That was a shameful death. Very shameful. Hallelujah. So we are students of the Word of God, so I don't need to say that. Meanwhile, there is a course I have already developed, a course on discernment. How to know whether things are of God or whether they are of the devil. Yes, give this sister quickly, and then we'll stop here for tonight. But I need to give you all the scriptures and say it quickly so that you will know the rest, and then we'll have 10 minutes for practice.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I've had so many dreams, and I would say I'm a dreamer. I dream a lot. And there was this dream that I had that I couldn't place it. And in that dream, I was on my way to church. Okay, I had fever in the night, and I was sleeping. So I got up in the night, and I prayed for healing and all that, and I went back to bed. So when I went back to bed, in that dream, I saw myself walking on the dark street with my sister. We were going to church. So I started pressing my cheek. You know, when you have fever and you try to hold yourself.
Mm.
And then green seeds, like greenish seeds, started coming out of my mouth. It was like I was vomiting them. I vomited a whole lot. So I still went to church. And in that church, I once sat under a man of God in Jos called Israel Guba, Prophet Israel Guba. So in that dream, I saw him in that church. He was ministering. So I entered and I stood in one corner. I was very weak. So he started running towards me. As he was running, I fell under the power of God. He had not reached me. And then what happened was that my spirit came out of my body. And I was looking at my body on the ground, and I was suspended in the air. So after looking at my body, I was like, don't worry, I'll be back. Let me see Jesus. And the next thing that happened was that I released myself, kind of like to be carried. Flew through the clouds like in the speed of light. So I entered a particular room. The rug was made of snow, and I saw a lot of sad people there. And while I was looking at them, something told me that these people died without fulfilling their purpose on earth. So now that they're here, they're kind of like feeling bad that they didn't do that which they were supposed to do. So I asked the old man that was sitting next to that, is Jesus here? He said no, that he's not here. So I walked out of the gate. I was like, I'm going to look for him. I just took like 2-3 steps, and a whole bridge opened before me. It was like I marched on a code that opened, and it was a bridge of glass. I looked under, and I saw lots of skyscrapers. I looked into the city. It was a big city, and I walked in, and before I could enter, I saw there was this river that was flowing from a mountaintop, and the birds that perched there, they were drinking water. Their feathers became new. Anytime they drink from it, their feathers become more new. And you know, so I walked into the city and entered inside a room, and I saw people doing architecture. So I asked them who the houses belonged to. The big houses. They kept mentioning names of men of God that I had known, I knew on earth. So I now asked the person, the angel. I asked him, I said, where is my own house? And he was like, you will have to go back. Your house is not yet completed. Now, when he spoke, I saw a building appear. It was high up in the air, but there was no roof. Nothing was furnished. But the other rooms were all furnished. To every bit of it was furnished. And when he said that, I got into an argument with him. I was like, I'm not going anywhere. And the moment I said that, I woke up on my bed. Now, when I woke up...
Should I tell you something? That's not a dream.
Okay.
That's an experience. We must be able to differentiate between dreams and experiences. I've been in heaven before for 8 hours. You know, my mom is a medical personnel. I was sick here. And they were battling to sustain me, but I was not there. I had gone. So I was in heaven. But I've not had liberty to share it until the time comes. But that which you had was not a dream, it was an experience. It was you, literally. It was your spirit that was journeying. and that thing happened, that your spirit left your body on that bed you were sleeping. So you were not seeing visions, you were seeing reality. That's reality. And meanwhile, as you grow in the prophetic, there are times when God will take your spirit and go and show you something and bring it back. He will determine how frequent it is. There are some covens that Baba will take you to go and see. I've seen some in Jalatoka. I've told you about it long time, but I've not been there till today. And I don't want to go there mechanically. That there will be something that will take me to Jalatoka one day. And the things I was doing with Jesus there, I will do it physically. That's not a dream, that's an experience. That's the, if you are in that form and you fight and somebody stabs you, you will wake up with pain here. You understand what I'm talking about? That one is an experience. If you fight in that form and you contend with demons and they cage you, you'll be sick here. But I don't want to go far into that. It's advanced. And we'll talk about that subsequently. So finally, let me give you all the rest. We have the next one is a hearing of faith. Hearing of faith. Acts chapter 10, verse 19 to 14. Hearing of faith. Acts 10, 19. Sorry, 9 to 14. 9 to 14. Then the taste of discernment. I would have loved to speak on the last one. You know, the hearing of faith is hearing the voice of God. Hearing. By the Spirit. Hearing by the Spirit. The taste of discernment. When the Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good. You taste to know the true salt that a thing actually is. Taste to know the salt. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, for that taste of discernment, I have 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. I have Psalms 34, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 3. Please read the scriptures at home. Psalms 34 verse 8. Can somebody read Psalms 34 verse 8 with the microphone? Then we'll round up there and we'll begin to pray. There is a difference between an experience and a dream. Sister, what you had was an experience. It was heaven you were walking in. When that gate, that the other place you saw that, you said these people have not finished their purpose. If you had gone that time, that's where you would be. Meanwhile, I don't have time to do a Bible teaching to explain your experience. I don't have time for that today. But I will sure do that. Probably before the year comes to an end. Then we can talk about deep things, not now. And the revival that is coming. The kind of things that we'll begin to experience. Who is reading for us? Psalms 34, verse 8, I guess.
Oh, taste and see.
Oh, taste and see.
That the Lord is good.
Okay, give me 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. It's taste of discernment. This kind of tasting is experiential tasting. People that have worked for the devil for long, they have seen that the devil is wicked. And if you walk with Christ for long, you will know beyond your cognitive knowledge that God is what? Yes. First Peter chapter 2.
If indeed you have tasted.
If indeed you have tasted.
That the Lord is gracious.
Now, he's saying that there are several dimensions of God that is only available to such that have confirmed that God is gracious. Several dimensions of God. You must have confirmed it. You must have tasted and you have seen and you have judged and you have concluded that God is good. Okay? And then if after that, if you have arrived at that point, there are other dimensions of the kingdom you have access to on the strength of the taste of the Son. Now, as we pray, knowings will come, visions will come, understandings will come in the next 5 minutes. Doesn't take God eternity to do something that is eternal. No winds will come. The Bible says, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. There is a knowledge that transcends the flesh. And it is that knowledge that is a knowledge that is witnessed into us by the true light that was intended, designed to lighten every man that cometh into the world. Now, so where you are, we'll just open the boat, open the portal by praying in tongues congregationally. So anywhere you are sitting, it's a good position for you, no problem. But we want to open the portal by beginning to gain ascendancy, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Chile no ranali. Roskena hambrazata baraka samina tuale. Mendolose nekle braske talima. Notice that God told Abraham, get thee out of thy country. He said, get thee out of thy kindred. He said, you will go to a land that I will show you. I will show you. You will activate your spiritual senses. He will show you that land. The address of the land was never given. It was a promise that he will show. That's the way of the kingdom. Because the moment you get born in the kingdom, then you receive perception from the Spirit of God to be shown things, to be revealed, things to be revealed to you. That's the life of the Spirit. We ask, O God, that you administer unto us insight and revelation. There are several warfares that you cannot fight except you are duly funded by revelation, by insight. There are several things that you'll be handicapped about except you are duly funded by insight. You are duly funded by revelation. One of the signs of spiritual health is that the man has the ability to discern danger before it comes, to discern it, to deal with it, to attend to it. Ancient of Days, tonight we call upon your name and we ask, oh God, that revelations will be opened, that the channels of insight, the channels of revelation, the channels of grace, that will bring us to that place where we can do spiritual business will be open unto us. Will be open unto us. Will be open. Will be open unto us. Kobera Santa Barahala. Bebra Shaila will be open unto us. Shaila Kombres Kanta Manda Lamaho. Yes, something is opening right now. There is an opening already. There's an opening already. There's an opening already. You cause us to gain access to high places in glory, that we can speak your words with the same potency that you spoke them in the beginning. It's your goodwill to make men your vessels so that you can take them through revelation to high places in the spirit. For this privilege, Lord, we are grateful. We ask, Lord, tonight, open the vista. Make us wise by the Holy Ghost. Open the vista. Make us wise by Jesus. Kovesame Zalieta. Rasketopriala Kasketamba. Aranamasanda Baborakade. Iko balansom de Hele Kasketa Briala Babaratala. You lost your gift.
You used to be a dreamer. You used to be a seer. And it's as if the channels are blocked. God is spirit. God is spirit. And it is through these channels that He reaches out to us. You can make demands on heaven. Just in case you have never seen a vision, you have never walked in discernment, you can ask God, open the channel. I need to see. I need to understand by your spirit. It's our heritage in God. Oh my God. A man that can hear God can never be disadvantaged. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. As long as you can hear God, you can access God. You can bounce back. You can bounce back. You can bounce back. God will quicken confidence into your spirit, and you can bounce back. You can bounce back. Nothing can be too difficult for a man that knows God, a man that hears God. Let the channels be open over the lives of your sons and daughters, that a new experience in the corridor of communion will be born tonight. Let another day break tonight. Oh God, we ask that your mercies may be bestowed upon every one of us, that a new day will break, a day of intimacy, a day of fellowship, a day of sweet fellowship, sweet communion with God, where nothing is hidden, where the plans of the devil are exposed, where we put on the garment of strength. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Shall be recovered. What the enemy stole from you, you shall recover it again. La 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 to do something here. He wants to do something here. Ah. Oh, ho, oh, ho. Oh, ho. Come anymore. Yeah. He's doing something here. His hand is so strong. His hand is so strong. 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 It's so strong. Something new is breaking out. Come on, Sunday. Yeah, I come and tell you, Bobo. Anything designed to stop your destiny, today I remove it from your path in the name of Jesus. I remove it from your path. I remove it from your path. Listen, I make an announcement. This week will be a week of revelations. A week of revelations. If you are a dreamer, you are about to dream again. God will not spare. He will uncover things. And right now as I speak to you, there's an anointing coming into this hall. It's for revelations. It's for revelations. It's for revelations. It's for revelations. It's already coming into the hall. It's for revelations. It's for revelations. It's an anointing for revelations. An anointing for insight. An anointing for revelations. For revelations. For revelations. It's coming strong. 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 It's for revelations. The things that are hidden, He will bring them forth to life. He will bring them forth to life. It's for revelation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. There are four prophets. Four prophets. Four prophets that God will begin to anoint now. Four prophets, hand of God will come upon them. It has begun. The hand of God will come upon them. 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 We 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 come upon them. It's an activation. It's an activation. It's an activation of the spirit of prophecy. Today is your induction. You are hereby inducted. You are hereby inducted. Inducted into a school of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. A journey of the Spirit under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. You are inducted. You are inducted tonight. You are inducted. You are inducted. It's a day of revelation. There are many secrets that will be uncovered. Many things that were kept on hold. It will be brought to life. It's your day of induction in a school of the Spirit. I ask that the hand of God might descend upon you and beautify you. Descend upon you and beautify you in the name of Jesus. That the hand of God will descend upon you, will descend upon you. Let a new era begin. A new era, an era of light, an era of light, an era of light in which there is no hidden thing, in which there is no darkness. An era of light, an era of light. An era of life. Say he gave a lot over. I took it about here. The dreams will become clearer. The visions will become sharper. The wisdom to interface with what God is bringing you to handle will become stronger. Everyone will have wisdom. Everyone will have understanding. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Come. Glory to your name. Glory. Come. Glory to your name. Glory. Glory to your name. Glory. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory. Yabo sale baria skande. Zebri alababote vese kala barati. Eso monde pregesali mancha. Glory to your name. Glory. Glory. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Let the vista, let a new era open in the lives of your people. Let a new era open for us in this ministry. Let the things that we could not access become accessible. Let the crowns that we could not access, let the doorways that we could not access be made available in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. Let things that were hidden, let such things be brought forth to light in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Can you begin to pray for yourself right now? God's emphasis now is you. There are many of us, is returning to us to activate ancient promises. He said to begin a new thing. He said Korea barakata banda babaria esom presani ke no moro salabaria
Ikama sento horokos gazela ika. Mentorobo santa franta babali akade. Marasanto presa manta bregade. Ikabato sato prialababota makila haye. Now there's somebody, I see fire coming from heaven. And that fire will begin to burn, will begin to burn, will begin to burn, will begin to burn, will begin to burn. That fire will begin to burn. That fire, that fire, that fire, that fire, it will begin to burn. Yes, yes, let grace come. Lord, let this house be filled with grace. Let every calling be activated. Let every ordination be renewed. Let anointings be renewed for what you will begin to do towards the tail end of this year. I know you are preparing us. You are making us ready. There is a harvest that we need to enter into to bring the lost souls back to the kingdom of their Father. I know that's what you are doing. You are preparing people, men and women, to stand in this harvest and to see that your kingdom extends. Lord, we receive the impartation. We receive the visitation. We receive the refreshing from heaven. Yes, we thank you, Lord. Koria mama raza mama mama. Thank you. Thank you, Father.